WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. What's up, NHRA fans? Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. I'm Joe Costello, and we've got another great show for you this week. Brittany Force runs the first 369 in Top Fuel history, unofficial, in testing, and yet we will still have her on the show to talk about it. I have a feeling we're going to see that 360 number come up on the board a lot in 2015. I certainly hope so, that's for sure. Also on the show, Matt Smith, Victory Motorcycles, a new manufacturer coming into NHRA PSM. It's going to be great. We're going to speak with Matt. How did it all go down? We will ask him just a few moments from now. And the War Stories Final Round, CompetitionPlus.com, has put together the greatest storytellers in drag racing history, the Grand Championship, Bill Doner versus Nicky Bonifant, co-crew chief of the DHL Toyota Camry for Del Worsham. Bill Doner, the legendary promoter from the West Coast, OCIR, will be previewing their stories right here on WFO Radio. But we start them all off the same way with the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be here, as always.
We are getting close. It's getting ready to happen.
No doubt about it. I actually just turned in my first Reinhart Report column of the year, and my suitcase is sitting at the house ready to go, and man, I'm ready. 1 week from tomorrow, I'm on an airplane.
Well, that is very exciting. Some big stories also in the world of drag racing, things to cover. Just breaking today. Looks like the NHRA has finally gotten the news. They need to break the stuff on Tuesday so we could talk about it. Obviously, that's a joke, but the U.S. Nationals worth points and a half? That sounds like something exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting now going into, you know, obviously that's the last race before we reset for the countdown to the championship, so it'll certainly change the clinch scenarios a little bit earlier in the season, and there'll be a whole lot of guys crunching numbers in between Brainerd and Indy trying to figure out if they actually can make it into the top 10 and have an opportunity to run for the championship. You know, there was a time when Indy was a double points race. It's always, of course, been the granddaddy of them all, and I think I applaud the move. I think it's awesome that they give it a little extra importance so that Indy is not just another race in the preseason, or in the regular season, I should say, before we get into the countdown. It's going to be fun to watch how it all plays out this year.
But double points would, in my opinion, would have been too much. This is just right. This is like the Goldilocks scenario. I think they really did a good job making it points and a half, as opposed to keeping it the same or going double points.
Well, like I said, I really applaud the move. I think it's tremendous, and I think it's going to be fun to watch how it plays out as we get into Indy.
Excellent stuff. Also in the news, Warren Johnson going to be inducted into the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America. Does it get any better than WJ?
Yeah, what a shocker that was. Huh?
Right.
We saw that coming.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, obviously after the career that Warren had and all the stuff that he's accomplished in the sport, everybody knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of when. I think it's terrific. I've always been a big, I don't know if fan is the right question, but admirer of Warren. And the fact that, you know, I've had an opportunity to get to know Warren a little bit outside of and away from the race car. He's still on my Christmas call list. Every year, Christmas Day, we chat and catch up and just trade news and keep in touch. So I think it's terrific for him. I think it's great for drag racing. And, again, I mean, it certainly wasn't a shock. Everybody, I think, knew Warren. Warren, at some point, is going to end up in every Hall of Fame that he's eligible for just because of the amazing career that he's had and continues to have as an engine builder, even though we don't see him behind the wheel very much anymore.
Yeah, that is a bit of a bummer. We're all rooting for Larry Morgan to win the lottery. He says the first thing he's going to do is put Warren and Kurt back out there.
I'd love to see Warren and Larry on the same team. That would be fun for about 3 weeks, and then one of them would end up being locked in a portage on someplace while the rig rolled on down the road to the next race. Because those two guys, you know, very old school, very my way or the highway oriented, and I think they're too much alike to actually get along if they tried to work together, but they're both just wonderful guys.
Very, very cool. Also announced, live television increases for 2015 up to 5 races this year. The 4-wide Nationals, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Spring Nationals, the Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol, the Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Nationals at Norwalk, and the Route 66 Nationals at Chicagoland, all live TV.
And I am all for it. You know, live TV obviously is huge if you're in the sports business, because in this day and age, it is just so difficult to avoid, no matter how hard you try. You know, either something pops up on your phone or somebody sends you a text message, or, you know, you click online and the headline on your email is, you know, Matt Hagen wins, and that has ruined the show for you if you haven't gotten a chance to see it yet. So live is good. It's also a lot of fun from my standpoint. You know, the way that we handle it as announcers at the racetrack, because we have a whole different mode that we experimented with and played with some last year. So, hey, the more the better. I'll take all we can get. I think it lends even more importance to our sport, and I'm all for it. I'd love to see them all go live someday if we can make it happen.
Me too, and I think where you really see it, what makes it, there's a couple of elements that, not that I'm a media expert, far from it, but now with social media and that whole second screen experience that a lot of people are getting involved in, like maybe they're looking at Twitter while the race is on, watching what people that are at the race are saying about what's going on behind the scenes while they're watching the race. And this is true for NASCAR. I know they've already announced they're going to be heavy into it here this coming year as well. That is a big, big part of it. And we saw at the live races last year, NHRA went right to the top of the Twitter trend sheet. So the NHRA fans were able to really to spread it out there during the live races.
Well, it also puts a little extra pressure on the teams, because when they've done the live races in the past, they've had them on a lightning-fast turnaround between the semifinals and the finals to make it fit into that window, which adds a little bit of drama. You know, obviously, if it's a Schumacher, if it's a Coletta, if it's a Force, those teams are so good and so practiced. But it was fun watching, you know, the Cruz Pedregon, the Tim Wilkerson a couple of years ago, and I certainly don't mean this to sound detrimental to their teams, but the 45-minute turnaround is a little bit tougher on a team when you don't have 5 teammates that can all come over and pitch in if you need the help. And it's just fun to watch. I mean, it's the drama of watching it live. Is it going to make it? Is the car actually going to start when they get there? And what's the outcome going to be? I'm 100% for it. I applaud NHRA and ESPN loudly.
And it brings a little more value, I think, to the sponsors, because if you're DVRing something that's late night anyway and you're watching the Monday morning or something, you're gonna fast forward through those commercials. It's just the way it is. But if it's live, you're willing to tolerate commercials because you know you're live. You're watching something that's happening now.
Well, or you mute the TV and, you know, call Domino's. Either or.
Use the app for that now. You say, hey, Dom.
No, I watch every commercial, even if I have to fast forward through the show, because
he's right.
I'm all about the commercials and the sponsors.
He's right, folks, and that's also true on WFO Radio. No, it's, listen, hey, the media world, it's an ever-changing, evolving monster that we need to tame. How about this one? Baptism by Nitro, Alan, the catchphrase for 2015, the hashtag Baptism by Nitro, NHRA really compelling their fans to bring a friend, to bring a neighbor. They know that everybody who comes to the track has got a friend or neighbor who's never been. They're working hard to bring those people out to the track.
Well, once again, and this is something that has been in the works at least half a year. There was talk about it, you know, mid-season last year about, you know, what are we going to do? What's next? You know, obviously you need to have some kind of a promotion, some kind of a catchphrase, some kind of a, you know, you can't just go, okay, everybody, here we are again. And I'm all for it. As you said, you know, everybody knows somebody that you come back and talk about, wow, this is incredible, this is awesome, this was amazing. And the guy's like, you know, never been to that. I've thought about it. I've, you know, maybe I've seen it on TV, maybe, but, you know, I've never gone to one. And you and I have had this conversation at least once a month, as long as we've been on doing this show. if somebody's never been to a race, come out one time and give us a chance. If you come out to Friday qualifying at Pomona, and at the end of the day, you go, you know what, that just wasn't for me. Well, you know what, thanks for giving us a chance, and you know, go find something that you love. But people come to the racetrack one time, and we'll get them hooked. We just need to get them out there once. And now they're kind of passing on that responsibility to all of our fans and all of the NHRA members and all of the racers to bring somebody out one time. Let's get them baptized by Nitro and see if we can't hook them and make a convert out of them.
And it works that way with WFO as well. That's how we get new listeners. Our listeners tell other listeners. It's not like we got a giant marketing budget. We're out there with billboards. People who listen for the first time say, wow, I can hear Reinhardt say what he thinks on this show. I can hear interviews with all these drivers. Brittany Force right after her first 360 run. That's cool. You're a fan. You'll like it too. That's how we do it. Word of mouth. It's a great way to pass the word.
Well, you know, obviously there's no better advertising, no matter what business you're in, than to have a customer, or however you want to put it, a listener, go, you got to see this, you got to check this out, this is something that's worthwhile. You know, we joked about fast forwarding through the commercials. I can watch 100 commercials on the TV and listen to 100 commercials on the radio, and that's never going to be the same as one of my buddies coming over and going, man, I went to this restaurant, it was spectacular, you got to try it out. Because that's going to have a whole lot more of an effect on me than anything else, and hopefully this whole baptism by Nitro campaign will be the same thing. If somebody gets a little bit aggressive, you know, hey, you're not doing anything this weekend, I'm going to the races, give me one day, come out Saturday, or come out Sunday, check it out. You know, come out Sunday, stand in the pre-race ceremonies down there where all the drivers are coming out and they're having the giveaways and having this stuff. Come down to the winner's circle and meet the guys. Look how close you can get to the actual race cars, not just show cars sitting in a mall someplace, but the actual race cars. How easy is it to get an autograph? How integrated you can be? You know, I've said it 100 times. I think NASCAR puts on a heck of a show. If you want to go watch a race, go sit in the stands and watch a NASCAR race, and you will be entertained. But if you want to experience an event, get hands-on, get down and dirty, get into the locker room, get up close and personal, there's nobody that does that like NHRA, and come on out and try it one time, one time. If we can't hook you, that's fine, but give us one shot.
Hashtag baptism by Nitro at NHRA on Twitter. Going to be very interesting to follow that hashtag throughout the year. Alan, Brittany Force, the first 360 pass that we have seen to 1,000 foot unofficially. Just give me your thoughts about the gravity of the number. I know it's unofficial, but still, I'd never seen it before. Now I've seen it on a scoreboard.
Well, there's no question there were some tremendous runs made at Wild Horse Pass this past week. I was up there actually Wednesday and Thursday. Just went up to touch base and say hi to a couple of guys that I hadn't seen yet. You know, you got an opportunity to go sniff some Nitro down at West Palm, and my first chance was up there at Wild Horse. So, you know, a chance to look at the new Camaros, and again, just touch base with some of the guys and kind of get the season off to the start. There were some tremendous numbers that run up there. Conditions were great, no question about it. You know, the fun part gets to be in Pomona when it is official, and we'll see what happens out there. I was not there on Friday when Brittany made that run, so, but, you know, again, conditions were great. The track was in tremendous shape. The guys out there at Wild Horse just did a great job for the racers that came in, so we'll, it'll be fun to watch in Pomona when, you know, all of this testing stuff is behind us and we get to go at it for real.
What about the whole Camaro situation? We had John on the show last week, and he talked about the Camaros and converting the Mustangs and mentioned that it's a spec body, and kind of we just kind of brushed over it. And at the time I was doing the interview with John, I didn't really understand, and I don't really understand it till right now, actually. That's kind of why I'm bringing it up, that there would be such a negative reaction from some fans that the Mustangs were converted to become Camaros, and that kind of became a firestorm. Like, I caught a little bit of negativity in my email box about, like, why didn't you pressure John more about it? And I can tell you the reason is because I don't think it's a big deal. I think that if a guy's got an inventory of a large number of anything, and it's going to be like throwing money away, the right thing to do is let him go through it. What is your perspective on that, and have you seen any of the fan outrage, so to speak?
Yeah, I've seen some of it, and I just, you know, I've been by and large ignoring it. You know, there were a number of people that were, I think, originally upset because they thought NHRA was just going to let John put Camaro decals on the side of a Mustang and go, okay, everybody, it's a Chevrolet now, which is not the case at all. They changed the nose of the car drastically. They changed the sides of the car. There's a tremendous article on, I believe it's on Competition Plus, where they talk about all of the steps that they went through, Aerodyne making the composite parts, and the way that they grafted them onto the bodies. The greenhouse, as it's known, the doghouse, the driver compartment of the car, is going to be very similar as it is now. The two-door cars, whether it's the Mustang, whether it's the Toyota, are very, very similar. The Dodge is different because that's based on a four-door car, and you start with it a little bit different dimensions, so it ends up having a bigger greenhouse on top of it. But a lot of the panels are very close to the same. So you change the nose, you change the tail, and in this particular case, the Camaro sides are much different than the Mustang, so they changed them. It wasn't just a matter of, okay, hey, let's paint some stripes on this thing and call it a Chevrolet. They made some major changes to the bodies that they had, but, you know, as you said, why would you throw away all of that carbon fiber when a lot of it is just going to be replicated anyway? So, you know, that's what they did, was they went through the steps with Aerodyne, they went through the steps with NHRA's tech department, you know, getting approval along the way, and it's like, hey, we're not happy with that. Okay, we'll go back, we'll change it, we'll try it again. Okay, well, that'll work. Now let's move on to the next thing. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it. Everybody, you know, everything that I've read says that the 2016 Camaro is basically going to be a completely new piece. And so John's got enough, I believe, of the cars that he's got now to run through the 2015 campaign. They will start designing the brand new one. You know, if they had gone through the design a new Camaro from scratch, they would have had to do all that on a fast track, spend however much money that would cost, and then almost immediately go to work on the 2016 because it's going to be a drastically different car by all reports. So this way, they were able to make a Camaro that they will be able to run temporarily. It is certainly not a clone to the Mustang. Look at one of those things sitting side by side with Tim Wilkerson's car, and if you can't tell the difference in it, well then, you know, I'll get you a cane with a red tip. and in the meantime, they will be making progress on the 2016. That's going to be a completely different machine. So, you know, for everybody that says, well, they just did this because it was forced, that's not true. They wouldn't allow anybody else to do that. That's not true. You know, they made special arrangements for him. Well, they probably made some special trips to his shop while this was all being done, but there have also been special trips made to Alan Johnson's shop when he was originally doing the Toyota, and to Schumacher's shop when they were originally doing the Dodge. It is certainly not something that they did for John that they wouldn't do for anybody else. And the bottom line is, it's a Camaro. It's going to be a Camaro, hopefully, for years and years to come. And John obviously is hoping that he'll have the same success that he had with the Blue Oval guys.
Final thought, Victory Motorcycles, Matt Smith Racing.
All for it. They were talking about this a couple of years ago. I thought it had gone by the wayside, to tell you the truth. I hadn't heard anything about it for a while. And back in full force, I think it's wonderful. You know, anytime we can get, you know, Victory Motorcycle coming in with Matt Smith Racing might not be as big as Chevrolet coming in with John Force Racing, but in the motorcycle world, I think it's huge to have another manufacturer that's involved and another manufacturer that sees NHRA as a good marketing tool, and I'm all for it. The Victory Motorcycles and street bikes are amazing machines, and I really look forward to seeing the race bike in person because I think it's going to have some tweaks and tunes as we go through the season as well.
It looks cool on the web. Can't wait to see it in person. Alan, great job as usual. A lot more to talk about as well. We'll get to it next week. I greatly appreciate you starting us off here on WFO.
Joe, always a pleasure, and I look forward to next week, too, because next week I'm going to be talking about, hey, I got to run. Airplane's leaving. So we're getting close.
There he goes. The NHRA's Alan Reinhart joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. We've got Brittany Force coming up. We've got Matt Smith coming up. We've got Bill Doner, the legend. And we've got Nikki Bonifant on this show. Stick around. If you're a first-time listener, we want you back. You know the whole thing, baptism by nitro, bring your friends. Yeah, that applies to you, too. The WFO Radio listeners. Right now, I want to tell you about the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Drive a dragster. You can do it. And they come to you. Go to frankhawley.com and go right to the schedule. frankhawley.com and go right to the schedule. And you can see exactly where the dragster adventure is going. Give them a call. 866-480-7223. That's the number. You can break it up into four easy payments. They're going out to Wild Horse Pass in March. They're going out to California Auto Club Dragway and Fontana in April. They've got the full schedule out there all throughout the entire year. They're going to Norwalk in August. Make your plans now. And remember, for WFO Radio listeners, they'll break it up into four easy payments. 866-480-7223. you're a drag racing fan, you love drag racing, but have you ever driven a dragster? The answer is probably no. Trust me, it is a fantastic feeling. You will love it. It's well worth it, especially maybe it's on your bucket list or you just are an adrenaline junkie. Driving a dragster is above and beyond anything else these people are doing out there. 866-480-7223, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, 130 miles an hour in the quarter mile, and you can even side-by-side drag race. The Dragster Adventure, check it out at frankhawley.com. We'll be back with Brittany Force right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. Winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax Coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. And I've been looking at the numbers, folks. You know, unique IPs and all computer speak. And the past couple weeks has been unbelievable for WFO Radio. Now, it might have something to do with the John Force Racing press conference and then the exclusive interview with John Force, followed by Jeff Gordon's final year announcement. That's all in the archive. But we also like to keep as current as possible with quick runs. Earlier, or at the end of last year, Matt Hagen went the quickest run ever in the history of Funny Car. Guess what? Minutes later, boom, WFO Radio. And just the same in Top Fuel. Joining us now, the quickest person that has ever driven a Top Fuel dragster, especially to 1,000 foot. Brittany Force joins us now. Brittany, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
So, what was it like to run in the 60s? Did you feel, did you know? I hear that on the perfect runs, the driver knows it.
You know, it definitely felt fast, but for me, I've been out of the seat for, you know, a while, and it takes time to get back into things, especially because I'm jumping back into a new car. So, you know, all weekend long, it was more my focus. My focus was really getting comfortable in the seat, finding my routine again. So heading down the track, I knew it was fast, but I mean, last year I could get out and I could tell you close to what we run. Like, I would know exactly, you know, where we were at. And still getting used to this car, still trying to find that. It just takes seat time and, you know, some more experience in the car. But when I got out on the other end, I knew it was fast. And when my guys told me what we ran, I was blown away. I couldn't even believe it. But it was pretty cool to put that number on the board.
Were they going nuts? I know it's an unofficial number and it's in a test, and there's a lot of reasons why an analytical crew chief person like Todd Smith might say, you know, let's not get too excited about this. But it's the first 60 that has come up on the board ever.
Yes, it is. I mean, my guys were cheering and screaming and honking the horn when they came down to get me. And I always watch videos on my runs. And the video, after it comes up on the scoreboard, you can't see what's going on because people are yelling and screaming and hollering. So it was pretty excited to do. We weren't able to back it up. We went out the next day, you know, and just made a few more runs. But it's still, just to see the number on the board and know that we were the first to do that, it's pretty exciting. And now that's what we're going for next year. You know, we want to put that number on the board again, but at a national event.
I was wondering, and I think everybody knows that it's coming. It's just the way of the sport. You know, the numbers get lower. And when would it happen? A lot of people thought maybe last year, maybe about Maple Grove, you made it to the final. But now we know it's going to happen. I mean, at some point, somewhere, we're going to see a 60 from someone. How badly do you want to be that person?
Oh, so bad. I remember watching years ago when Antron, you know, he had the best DT, I believe it was in Reading a few years ago, and watching him put, you know, a low 70 on the board was just, I mean, it blew everyone away. Everyone was just in shock when he did it. And I remember my rookie season, I thought, dang, that'd be pretty cool to, you know, be the first one in the 60s. And, you know, we had a good year and then went on second year and then went ahead and did it in testing. So, like I said, it's my third year out here, and we're definitely going to try to do it again.
This is the year that if you were a quarterback in the NFL, they would be saying it's, you know, put up or shut up year, or the year that you really need to show that you've got it. You've got it. And I think you've kind of already showed that, the tail end, the whole second year. You went to a bunch
Thank
of final
you.
Rounds. Yeah, I think you are there already. So maybe this third year, you're ahead of the curve. How do you feel about it when you got in the car, when you got back to the track, when you strapped yourself in? Did you feel like you were at home, back in your office, ready to go? Tell me a little bit about how you're getting ready for the third year of your career.
Well, thank you for saying that. You know, getting for me, the off season has felt so long. It's just, we've been away from the racetrack for too long, and I'm just anxious to get back out there. And, you know, climbing back in the seat of my car, it felt good. It's just, that's where I'm supposed to be at. That's home, and I'm just really ready to get back into routine of things. And it felt good to be out there in Phoenix testing. And, you know, just climbing back in the car. But I didn't realize how intense just making one run was. We were out there in Phoenix, and I made just one pass for the day. And, you know, we packed up that night, and the next day we're going to come out and make a few more. And I was beat up. Courtney and I were talking about how just, I mean, our shoulders, our necks, everything hurts because we haven't been in the seat for so long. But once you get into routine of things and you're out there, you know, back-to-back weekends racing, your body just gets used to it. But being pulled out of the seat and then thrown back into it, it's like, wow, I didn't realize how, you know, just making, you know, I only went to 600 feet. And, you know, you definitely feel it. So I'm ready just to get rid of all that, get back into routine, and, you know, get going on the season.
The test is like training camp in the NFL. We're getting ready for the Super Bowl this weekend. And the players say the same thing, that you're not in game condition until you start getting hit and it hurts really bad, and then you naturally toughen up somehow.
Oh yeah, it definitely takes a while. It's just getting used to it, getting seat time, and your body just kind of adjusts to it.
I know you're super busy getting ready. A couple of questions got to ask you. Your dad was on last week, teased something in the works that may be big, but you can't say, and of course we respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it sounds very interesting and intriguing. But the Chevy deal is on the table. You and Courtney tweeted out or Instagrammed a photograph of the two of you in Chevy gear. What is your perspective on this? You were with Ford for a long time, like just in the family, you know, cars you drove to the track, around the track. Now you're in Chevrolets. Is it difficult to get used to?
No, we're definitely excited about, you know, bringing Chevy on board, and we're excited to start the season with them. It's definitely different. It's a new look for John First Racing, but it's something we're all very excited about. So, like I said, we're just ready to get the season started. We have, like you said, my dad, you know, you spoke to him, a week back, and there is something we're still working on. Courtney and I have actually been very involved bringing the sponsor on board. It's been in the works for a while, but, you know, we're hoping everything's going to, you know, work out as planned, and hopefully we'll be out there racing with them on a right car.
That is a whole side of the sport that only certain racers get to feel, that intense stress. The "are they going to sign" stress. Is this going to work out? Making calls, bringing people to the track, making it happen for a big-time sponsorship that's going to allow you and all your guys to race. And it may or may not happen at any moment. That has got to be pretty stressful in itself.
Yeah, it definitely is. We're really just hanging on to that right now, hoping that everything will work out. Because, you know, we need a sponsor on my car, and I'm going into Simona. You know, we have all our team sponsors, but I don't have a primary sponsor, so we're hanging on to that, and, you know, hopefully in another month or so, we'll be teamed up and partnered up with them.
Brittany Force runs 369.8 at 321.88 miles per hour, the quickest elapsed time unofficially in the sport of drag racing to 1,000 foot, and probably otherwise. Brittany, thank you so much for taking a little time to come on WFO Radio.
Thank you, of course.
Great stuff, and you guys are doing a great job, all the drivers, all the teams. Spencer ran that 3:32 above the national record, of getting us excited. We're excited for Pomona.
I'm excited, too.
All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on WFO.
Of course, thank you.
Brittany Force with us here on WFO Radio 369. How about that? First time that has ever come up on a scoreboard. Very exciting, and the Winter Nationals are right around the corner. And, of course, WFO Radio will have the winners. The winner views of the Mellow Yellow Series, we will catch up with all of the winners. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. Finally, a little racing right around the corner. So Brittany Force on the show after a big 369. We've got Matt Smith coming up next, and then at the tail end of the show, Bill Doner and Nikki Bonifant going to talk about the War Stories final round of Competition Plus's yearly championship that they do. This is the grand championship, as in everybody that's in it has already won a previous year, and they are basically going for the overall championship. Nikki Bonifant and Bill Doner going to give their preview of their War Stories, which come out tomorrow, meaning Wednesday of this week. All right, when we come back, we're going to check in with Matt Smith Racing. Matt Smith with the new Victory Motorcycles. That's kind of cool news. Remember, you can always check out NHRA PSM, the hashtag, for all the Pro Stock Motorcycle stuff. And we love the bikes. The people who are involved in Pro Stock Motorcycle are just really cool characters. And love talking to them after their big victories. It's cool to see Victory Motorcycles getting involved. We will be back after this with Matt Smith right here on WFO Radio. But first, I want to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, he was out at the Zest Fest this past week in Texas, repping WFO. Had all his hot sauce and coffee and barbecue spice rubs all out there on the table, along with his big WFO sticker, which was very cool. Put that out on our social media. Bottom line is, though, if you like coffee, if you like something unique, is really what it's about. You can go to your grocery store and just get a bag of coffee. But if you want something unique, like over 40 single original coffees to choose from that represent the top 5% of coffee grown in the world, including limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots, Rodax is where you want to go. All the coffee is roasted fresh per order. They even have exotic coffee like Jamaican and Sumatra Kopi Luwak, the Panama Geisha, Australia, all the real exotic coffees. Marvin has them. Give him a call. You can go online and go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com right through the WFO Radio website, or just by calling Marvin, which he really likes, 817-924-6821. And it seems like the WFO Radio listeners are really loving the Rodax coffee. 817-924-6821. They also do four different barbecue sauces and spicy hot sauces. They also do spice rubs like the A26 coffee spice rub that is award-winning. It is just great stuff. 817-924-6821. From Fort Worth, Texas, it's Marvin Rodak and Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Welcome to all you new and first-time listeners. Maybe you saw the link on Twitter or Facebook. Maybe you saw the app. You found the app in the App Store. Regardless, we love you. We're happy you're here. And if you've checked out the archive, the past couple of weeks, we have had John Force. We have had Ron Capps. We have had Larry Morgan. We have had tons of drivers in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. But if you're astute and you're saying to yourself, Joe, where are the Pro Stock Motorcycle guys? And that guys and girls. And make no mistake, we cover them too. Joining us now, the big story in the NHRA PSM this week, Matt Smith announcing a new manufacturer to the sport. Matt, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Joe. Thank you. Battling the cold, but besides that, everything's good.
Yeah, a little under the weather myself. It happens from time to time. But nothing like good news to bring you around. This is a really cool opportunity. I've seen these Victory motorcycles out and about and always kind of wondered, they're so awesome, what's the story? And now that I've seen it reported that you and Angie are going to be riding Victory motorcycles, it is a tremendous deal. How did it all happen?
Yeah, it's a tremendous deal. We signed a multi-year deal, which is the first time I've ever had a multi-year deal. It all come about, I guess, Las Vegas last year. We heard that Victory's wanting to get in. S&S Cycles, the S&S Motors, they presented Victory to the Buell V-Twins, and they talked to, they come out to Las Vegas and talked to three different teams. And at Pomona, they showed up and told us we were the team for their brand.
Wow, that is that's a big deal for you guys. It's not the first time you've brought new creative sponsors into the sport, but it is the first time that I can remember in a while a new manufacturer has gotten in.
Yeah, this is big for not only Victory and not only for MSR, but for NHRA also. To have a manufacturer, coming back into the sport. We've had Harley Davidson, and we used to have Suzuki and Kawasaki out there, and now to have Victory Motorcycles to have a factory team out there. I'm very excited for this year, and especially for next year.
They are based in Minnesota, which is very cool, and you guys designed a new body from a blank sheet of paper, it looks like?
Well, we designed a new body. We started this development at the end of November, and I sent a chassis up there, and we're basing this bike off the Gunner. It's their one of their better bikes that they produce, and it's one of their biggest sellers, and that's what the marketing team at Victory decided. That's what they wanted us to push this year. So we spent all of December, and I made two more trips in January up there, and finally went up there with NHRA the very last trip, and got it all approved. And just 3 days ago, last Friday, I got the first fiberglass body in. And spent all weekend with me and Dog, the guy who builds our chassis, mounting the body up on our first chassis. And we're going to the wind tunnel with it on Friday. And a lot of neat things are coming.
Wow, that is a great story for fans of Matt Smith Racing and you and Angie that you're going to be out there on new bikes. Now, you and Angie are going to have these new bikes. Last year, you had John Hall, Scotty Polachek running bikes that had your power and were basically under your umbrella. How is that going to work? Are you going to be the only two Victory motorcycles that we see, or are they going to spread out to other racers as they spread their wings in drag racing?
I'm not sure about that. All I know is right now that they're focused on trying to get, the factory team, which is me and Angie, with the bodies, with the bikes, running good. And, we'll see what happens. I've kind of cut back. They wanted me to focus on me and Angie this year. And Scotty Polachek, bought a bike from me. I think, as you saw, John Hall bought a bike. I think Chip Ellis' old bike. And Chaz Kennedy, they just come up and purchased a bike from us. So there's we're not going to do a lease program next year. Or this coming year, but we are, we will maintain the motors that Scotty and Chaz have bought from us, and keep them up on a basis when they need to be freshened up. But no more leasing right now for MSR. We're going to focus strictly with Victory and try to get them some wins and a championship.
That is huge, and I totally understand that when an opportunity like this comes around, you have to really give it as much attention as you possibly can. Now, you'll be using the S&S V-Twin that is virtually out of your current motorcycle, and how is that going to work? Is that going to be what they want to do, or do you think Victory ever has an intention to try to create their own power plant as well?
No, we're going to use the S&S motor right now. We're going to get the bodies established out there, Victory established in NHRA, and, the next goal, I think, on the list is to maybe mid-season toward the end of this year. We've talked to S&S about building a motor strictly for Victory, and working with them one-on-one and doing some stuff. we need to make the motor, the weak part of our motors right now are the crankshafts and the S&S, and you know, that's what we want to improve. We need to change the cases, we need to change, go to side-by-side rods, and really make it, it's a race engine. It was built purposely for racing. But there is a couple flaws that we need to fix, and I think Victory is, I think they're willing to do that in 2000, for the 2016 year.
Wow. I understand that Candy Magazine is also going to be on board back with Angie. I think that worked so well for everybody involved, seeing the candy colors, and something that I had no knowledge of until they arrived at NHRA Mellow Yellow Series events, and then all of a sudden I had a great knowledge of it. That's how sponsorship is supposed to work, and it clearly is a good relationship between Angie and the Candy Magazine guys.
Yeah, she did a fantastic job of, you know, promoting their product, getting all the viewers. They went from 7 on the iTunes list when they started in Charlotte last year to right after her win in Epping. They vaulted all the way to number 1 and have remained number 1 in the iTunes men's category all winter long. So very, very excited to have them back on board as associate sponsor with her. We have Nitro Fish back on board as associate, you know, with my team. And, of course, Mark Stockseth, you know, he's been one of my main backers since we started this program in 2006, and, you know, he's full-fledged on board again.
Absolutely awesome. Got to wait till Gainesville, though, to debut for 2015, but I would imagine with so much newness that the little extra time is probably a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. You know, like I said, we're going to the wind tunnel Friday in 5 days. The bike will then go back and have carbon bodywork made for it. We're hoping to be on the track the very first time running the Victory bike February the 16th and 17th at Bradenton Motorsports Park in Florida. So that'll be the debut of it going down the racetrack. And, you know, I know we're going to be behind the eight ball a little bit with the new body. You know, it took a long time for us to get the Buell stuff right, the way we wanted to race it and this and that. But I would say by the third or fourth race of the year, I think we'll be pretty strong, you know, if we're not strong right off the bat at Gainesville. But I'm looking theoretically, and, you know, I want to be strong when we go to Englishtown. You know, I think we'll be up there in the top.
What goes into designing the body? I know that the Buells had really large air scoops, and recently the Harleys kind of downsized their air scoops to a much straighter, smaller, almost mailbox design, and there was some discussion about how that was beneficial, you know, pushing less through the air. Air scoops always slow things down, but you need that air as well. Are you able to address that with this new design? Are you able to go to areas of the design that you've been wanting to attack and basically make it the way that you think it ought to be for this body?
Yes, we addressed the issues that I realized that we had with the Buell. Victor's done an outstanding job of putting everything in CAD and getting the numbers where I wanted to see them. We will have 2 different size scoops to test with in the wind tunnel, and we'll, you know, the shape and all that has already been submitted to NHRA, so all that good for them. But we got to come up with the denominator that we want to see as far as air going into the motor. And, you know, I know what we need to have, and I'm hoping that we get that accomplished and it'll show up at the racetrack.
Is that a difficult process going with NHRA, and you maybe have an idea and they have an idea of what it needs to be? Of course, they're trying to keep the playing field as level as possible. And, like, that process, I bet it's very interesting to see when you're in it, but only the people who get to be in it are people who are putting out new equipment, so it's a small number.
Yeah, you know, NHRA, Victory, took a bike out to Vegas, and they took all the measurements off the bike, and, you know, they got all the numbers there, and there's a 1-inch tolerance with every number that there is. So, of course, you push the limit with the 1-inch, you know, and tweaking all the stuff that you can to make it as aerodynamic as you can. But as far as the scoops, you know, no bike really has scoops on it, you know, from the factory, you know, in the V-twin market. So you kind of do whatever you want to a certain point. They have a size dimension that you can't exceed, but you can go as small as you want, or you can go up to the size, that's the maximum size that they allow. And, you know, we've got a couple of different ideas there, and we'll see which one works the best.
Very cool. I think it's very exciting. I know a lot of people have these Victory motorcycles. They are just very cool and a great competitor for the Harley Davidsons out there. It'll be interesting to see how you're able to integrate the new body style and into the class in general. It's going to add a certain level of interest. While I got you on the phone, Matt, how's your dad doing? What's the story with his Pro Modified car? Has he announced his plans for 2015?
Dad is, he's going to run again in NHRA. He's sponsored by IDG. And he left yesterday going to Qatar. They're going to run three races over there. He'll be back, I think, the third week of February and start working his way back to trying to win a third championship in a row. You know, and that'll be exciting for the family to do that. And we're going to try to match him in that.
Yeah, you guys are the only father-son to do it. That would be cool to be the only father-son to do it twice.
Yes, it would. It'd be neat, you know. But right now our main focus is we want to win a race. We want to come out and run good and win a race and be the first person or first team to win for Victory Motorcycles. So that's our goal right now, and hopefully we'll live up to that this year.
Matt, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio, telling us all about this new deal, new hardware out on the track when the Pro Stock motorcycles hit the track at the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals. Not that far away, if you think about it. March is right around the corner. January is just about done. And I am certainly looking forward to it. You guys basically representing a brand new manufacturer in the sport of NHRA, Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, the Pro Stock motorcycle class. I think it is super cool. Good luck out there. Thanks for coming on WFO and telling us all about it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, thanks for all the fans and all the people that support us. And, you know, I think we'll have a good year.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be a very interesting. It's always important to see new stuff. You don't want to stagnate. And this is exactly the opposite. This is new stuff. I think it is very cool. Congratulations to you and Angie.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Joe.
Matt Smith with us here on WFO Radio. He's a little under the weather. I'm a little under the weather, but we're fighting our way through. We know there are drag racing fans all around the world. They want to know what's up. They want to hear what's going on. I was great until middle of last week, and then, I don't know what happened. But got to dig out of it. Got to fight your way through, man. Nobody cares. They want the show. And I think it has been a great one. Brittany Force and Matt Smith. Victory Motorcycles, if you look at the photograph, you can see the photograph on the press release. Really cool. I think it's a good-looking motorcycle, and I often wonder why more of these motorcycle brands don't jump in and get involved in Pro Stock Motorcycle. It's good to see Victory getting in. Welcome, Victory, if you're out there listening. And I don't think you could have picked two better people. Matt and Angie, good people, good team, a lot of fans. They love them. And, you know, they're going to bring it 110. That is for sure. So thanks to Matt Smith for coming on the show. Now, coming up next, the War Stories final round. Bill Doner going to start us off. The final round is Bill Doner versus Nicky Bonifant. Nicky, of course, co-crew chief on Del Worsham's machine for Coletta Motorsports, along with John Oberhofer. And I am looking forward to seeing their stories. If you haven't read their stories, you got to get on competitionplus.com. They're very good. Nicky has a propensity to destroy pit vehicles, apparently. And Bill Doner, of course, is just Bill Doner. He is putting on a show and the crazy stuff that happens in the promoting world. And we're going to have them next, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. Winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax Coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeandGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found and Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Folks, we have got the champions, Matt Hagen.
It was awesome feeling to be able to go out there and turn four wing lights on, win a championship, and beat John in the final. I mean, that's what we've been working for. That's been our goal for the whole year.
Erica Anders-Stevens.
If we're going to be the best, we've got to beat the best, and that's what we had to do.
Andrew Hines. Being on WFO is like an extra little bonus.
It is. You know, that's one of the first things I always think about after I see that win light. You know, you get the Wally, and you think, okay, I get to talk to Joe tomorrow. It's a pretty awesome deal. You've done a great job. You're a great ambassador for our sport, and we really appreciate what you've done for us to bring another platform for people to hear us.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFOradio.com.
It's great to be on your show, man. Every time I'm on your show, brother, I know on WFO, I know we did something good.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Great show once again. Very excited. And a yearly tradition coming to you this week as the Competition Plus War Stories final round is upon us. And if you're new to the show and you don't know exactly what it is, Competition Plus is one of our media partners. Bobby Bennett, who is the editor, puts together this great competition from some of the drag racing personalities out there in the world. And he knows they have great stories. Go to competitionplus.com. You can read all the stories, but they have a bracket. They tell their stories. The readers vote. They get to a final round, and then the finalists come on WFO Radio to tease their stories, and then you guys all go and vote. It is tremendous. Well, over the past couple of years, we've been doing this. It's in the archive. You can go back and listen. But now this is the grand championship, meaning the champions of all the past competitions coming back for one more time to determine the grand champion. And we have the two finalists on the show coming up for you now. Joining us now, one of the first finalists. He is a legendary promoter from drag racing's history, OCIR, Bill Doner. Bill, welcome back to WFO for your final round.
Hey, thanks, Joe. You said great quite a bit. This better be good, huh?
Yes. Well, I always like to build it up really big and then let you guys... That's your style, though. We learned from you.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's been a lot of fun, this deal. You know, when Bobby Bennett some years ago, God, it's been forever, it seems like now, asked me to participate. I think it was like way back 2008 or something, get in this thing. And so I did, and the first one was... there were 16 people in it, so it was four rounds of competition. And it got harder as it went along, and you know, and I reached back for old stories, and the best one I could come up with, I thought, anyhow, as far as I'm concerned, was a two-part story. And I did that in the final two rounds of that contest, and as you said, teased everybody up with the semifinal story, meaning that if you read to the end of it, which is up online right now, and you can do that at competitionplus.com, and you can read that story, and I leave them hanging, man.
You did.
I don't tell the whole thing.
You don't. And for the listeners out there, I like to binge read right before the interviews because that's just how it is. And so I have just binge read Bill and Nikki Bonifant, who is the other side of the final round, who will be on the show following Bill immediately. Great stories from both of you guys. Let's start out, though, Bill, with the story that got you past the first round, which you beat Larry Sutton, another former champion. Had to do with Jungle Jim and Porky the Pirate.
Yeah, you know, Larry Sutton was my old starter at both Irwindale Raceway and at Orange County, even though when they queued him up there, they said he was the starter from Lions Drag Strip, which was true. But when Lions went out of business in the 70s, mid-70s, I bought most of the equipment down there, and we moved it over to Irwindale Raceway in Southern California, and Sutton went over as a starter. Then he was the starter again at Orange County, and he was tough. He was a lot tougher in his contest than I really honest thought he would be. He had a really good story, and he's a really good guy, too, and I hated to have to go up against him. But the story I told was one up at Fremont Raceway, another one of my racetracks up in Northern California, not necessarily one that I loved to go to because it was kind of, the pits were not paved and the dirt would get up. I was trying to wear contact lenses in those days. I do again now, but in those days they were the old hard lenses and the dirt would get in them. And, oh, God, it would drive me insane. And on this particular day, of course, it had to do with we had a race on New Year's Day. We called it the Nitro Bowl, and it always did really good. The ads, I did the ads, and the ads were, if you're tired of this bowl and that bowl, well, get up off the couch because this Sunday or Monday, when it was, there's the Nitro Bowl at Fremont Raceway. We brought in a bunch of named funny cars to race in match race style where everybody raced each other twice, and the two low laps times came back for a third round for all of it. Now, I mean, I got really good cars. You had, the Donna Snake Prudhomme and the Mongoose Tom McKeown, the Blue Max, and Jungle Jim, as you said. And I won't go into the whole story, take some time, but in essence what happened was Jungle was notorious for not showing up at races that you advertised him in. And he was born and raised, strangely, in Fremont, California. And he begged me to be in this race. So, the year before he hadn't shown up, people came up to the tower, where's Jungle? Where's Jungle Jim? You know, and General Jim Lieberman in those days was a big name funny car racer, particularly in the East. And he was a showman, and he had the really good-looking lady, Jungle Pam, out in front of the car with her short shorts on, bending over and lining it up. And it was a big deal. So I told him, I said, Jungle, if you do this to me again, and I actually booked him at quite a few tracks. In those days, I had like 9 racetracks. So I booked him in Orange County and Irwindale and up in Seattle and Portland. I said, Jungle, if you do this to me, you're done. And I will go to everybody I can and tell them never to book you again. So you got to be there. So, of course, he came, showed up that day. And he was, when we opened the gates, and I don't know what he did the night before, Jungle was, you know, was quite a rounder. He was parked in line with the rest of the people waiting to get in at 6 in the morning. And then he came in, and he had to make a pass early. I begged him not to. Blew up the fuel tank on his car. Said he wouldn't be able to race. And anyhow, I told him, I said, well, that's it. I told you not to run. I begged you. This is just like not showing up at all. Somehow or other, we got a hold of old Porky the Pirate. And he built him a fuel tank, and they went out and they welded the fuel tank together. They welded. They just took a torch and took off half of some guy's car to fabricate it. And that, if that wasn't bad enough, then Porky had a leg, you know, that was made out of an old fuel tank, a can, and he filled it up with cheap wine and ran a tube up to his mouth all day. Drank that wine all day long, and by nightfall he wasn't great. You'd have to see a picture of him. And Bobby Bennett's got some pictures of him. Actually, he puts up occasionally. Anyhow, old Porky, meanwhile, had somehow, while he was welding everything, welded his truck up to this guy's Volkswagen. He cut the side off, and he passed out on the ground. And the guy came over and got me out of the tower. It was dark, and we found Porky in the guy's car. And God, jeez, what a mess. Anyhow, that was the first round.
But the show went on, and that is what is most important. You guys got it in.
We did. We did. The Nitro Bull went into the history books. And the funny part was, Jungle, with this old fabricated fuel tank on the car, finally got the car together, got up the starting line. And in the first round, I was angry with him. Anyhow, I said, you know what? I'd have thrown him right up against the snake. And in those days, that Don Perdomo's U.S. Army Plymouth Air was virtually unbeaten. It won every national event it entered, I think, the year before. So I said, well, we'll just thrash it. And, of course, Jungle beat him.
There,
snake came up to me, snake came up to me and said, do you have to do that to me? That's humiliating.
Now, did you ever find the picture of Porky the Pirate passed out, welded the truck to the person's car? Because you had mentioned there is a photo somewhere.
Well, that's because I never saw that picture. I didn't. It's hard to find pictures of Porky the Pirate. There aren't many around. He's pretty legendary with the old-time racers, but you don't find many pictures. Old Porky, he's not with us anymore. He used to go around. He wore a chrome German helmet from World War I with a spike up on the top of it, and hobbled around with his leg fabricated out of an aluminum fuel tank. And he was grubby looking, and he always could round up a whole bunch of ladies at the racetrack and want them to be the race queen. He'd bring them all to the tower. Mr. Donor, he said, I've got you a race queen. I thought, I don't want a race queen. Trying to run this thing. Anyhow.
That got you by the... That got you by the first round, and then on to the second round, a tough matchup against Jim Oberhofer, who has got some great stories himself, obviously running around with the Colettas for a long time. You're going to get some stories, but you were able to get by him with part one of the Linda Lovelace story, which I'm sitting on the edge of my seat right now. Like, I want to wait. I can't wait to go read the second half of it, because it was pretty crazy. Get us up to speed to the cliffhanger where we are at the moment.
Well, Joe, the first thing I want to say is Jim O's, I know him, and he's a really nice guy. Every one of these things, they match me up with somebody like that that's, you know, a friend and somebody I know. And you're right, his stories are just excellent. And I knew going in, in fact, Bobby encouraged me to write something new. He said, you need to do a new story. Don't run the old stuff. He said, Jim's got a great story, and, you know, and he went on and on. I said, let me tell you something, Bobby. I go out and talk at the Orange County reunion, at various functions. I was inducted into the Hall of Fame back in Florida a couple years ago. And every time I get up, people yell out of the audience, tell us that story about Linda. Tell us that story about this. And they want to hear the old stuff. I could tell them what I did last Saturday night, but I don't think anybody gives a damn. So what really happens, and I told Bubba, I said, you better stick with me. He said, well, I don't want you to get beat up real bad. I said, don't worry, we'll see. Well, of course, I got by Jim Mo. It was tough all the way, and the story has to do with it, those of you that are a little younger, you might not even remember her, but in the mid-70s, the first really big time, what I'm going to call, I can't clean it up, so I'll have to call it a porn film, hit the United States, and it never had one go right into major theaters. I mean, never in those days. And the film was Deep Throat, and the star was a gal named Linda Lovelace. And just like the underworld, undercover, the rumbles everywhere, everybody knew who she was, but nobody came out and said anything about it. I mean, guys talked about it, but I never knew anybody that time had ever seen the movie, and I hadn't seen it. But I knew, and I was living in Seattle then, I knew that it was in downtown, and they had a big banner across the front of the theater, and it said the 100% Gulp. And I went, oh, man, this is honest. And I went, jeepers, right here in downtown Seattle. So I had this race coming up, the Northwest National Open, and it was a big race. We had Top Fuel, Funny Car, every category. And we had big-name guys, you know, everybody coming from around the United States came every year to this. We ran it the first weekend in April, which was a little dangerous in the Northwest because it can rain easily in the first weekend in April. But if it doesn't rain, we jammed the place. And at this particular time, I used a line in the ads, in the radio ads I'd never used before. But I used to say, is this a big race? And then I'd say, does a bear in the woods? Right there in the ad, you know. And the radio station said, well, maybe we shouldn't run that. I said, well, then don't run it. I'll pull all the ads. Said, no, don't do that. So we did that, and that was early in the week. And we started leading up the week before to this thing. I always ran my ads 10 days, 14, 12 days out for a big race. And we had billboards. I mean, it's a big deal around the Pacific Northwest and in Southern California. Anyhow, I was out with some friends about a week and a half before, and I was telling them about how big this race was, all the people who were coming, various racers from all over the country. And one of the crazy guys sitting there with me said something like, just said to me like this, well, it was such a big race, how come Linda Lovelace isn't coming? And I said, well, what has Linda Lovelace got to do with a drag race in Seattle? But I knew she was, but I mean, and I thought, well, why would he even ask me that? He said, well, nowadays in the United States, if anything's real big, Linda Lovelace has to have something to do with it. I listened, I said, you're nuts, and I let that go. And I was down, I think that was like 2 weeks out, and the week before we ran a race at Irwindale in Southern California. It was like I was with some friends of mine out to dinner, and one of the guys said, you know, this guy's wife was on the Hee Haw television show with Barbie Benton. It's getting a little complicated, I know, but. And she was Hugh Hefner's girlfriend, fiance, live-in, whatever. And he said to me, he says, you ever heard of this gal Linda Lovelace? And I perked up at dinner and said, well, yeah, I have heard of her. He said, well, we were out with her the other night to dinner. She's actually a pretty nice gal. And I heard his story, and I said, you know her? And he said, sure. And I said, well, here, take my card. I'd like to bring her up to Seattle for this car race. I was kind of half-kidding. Well, I won't go into all the intricacies of how she got there, but she got there. And the sponsor of the race was some local fish and chips place called Skipper's. And, of course, I recut the ads in all over the Northwest, and I bought more ads. This is a big race. Well, Linda Lovelace is coming from Southern California. That's a big race. And guys would scratch their head that didn't know what that meant and go, what's this about? Who's Linda Lovelace? Well, lo and behold, the sponsor of the race, Skipper's Fish Chips, they came and they said, we don't want anything to do with this. And I said, what do you want me to do now? Well, we don't want to, and so I just said, well, I'll do whatever you like. I don't care. And now, just before the race, Olympia Brewing Company down in Olympia, Washington, had built a new tower for me. And the guy from Olympia came over and said, we don't want her up in our tower. And I thought, uh-oh. But meanwhile, the drums are beating all over the Northwest. And everybody's talking about it. And we pick her up at the airport early. She comes in on Saturday. It's a two-day race. Comes in on Saturday. And all the radio stations that were reluctant to run any of that, they all, of course, want to interview her. So we holler around to all the radio stations. Now, this is a gal on regular radio now. This is a gal, and they're introducing her as the most well-known porn star in the history of movies. And, I mean, people are going, oh, no, what's he done? And she's doing interviews all over Seattle and everything. And now the kids and everybody, it really picks up steam.
I'm not going to tell the whole story of what happens, how she comes out to the race, and the funny car guys all get together, and I promised them that whoever won the race would have a date with Linda Lovelace after the race. And that got to be a joke. But you had to run a little sticker inside your car that said Team Gulp. And they all did it. And they were laughing. And it got to be bigger and bigger. And I said, well, we won't, you know, do anything on race day. We won't make it. I promised people that the sponsors that I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. And, of course, the minute we play the national anthem, Bill Shrewsbury and his L.A. Dart wheel stander goes right down the racetrack with Linda Lovelace standing out the front of it, right through the front windshield where the windshield would be. And there's not much I can do but tell the crowd who that is and what's going on. And oh, man. So now it's really picking up steam, and it's race day, and I got a huge crowd. And the night before, these two goofballs that had talked me into doing this thing with Linda Lovelace had brought her over to my house and knocked on the door at 2 in the morning with her and wanted to know if I told my shaky marriage situation. I said to my then-wife, can Billy Lee come out and play? Well, she blew her top and said, why don't you just get your stuff and get out of here? Which I did, and I went out and slept on the couch at the racetrack. You know, well, I wasn't much trying to explain that deal. She said, I've had enough of all this baloney. And it was race day, and the race was, of course, terrific. Yeah. All day long, the weather was good. The big mountain was out, you know, and you could see snow everywhere. And the crowd was terrific. And that's what mattered to me. And then we get down to the final round. And the final round is, I'm just going to take you this far.
Yeah, now remember, don't reveal the whole story. We got to get these people on Competition Plus. You got to leave us hanging.
You know what? I'm not even going to take you to the final round. But there's a new twist in this story now. And there's a new photo we're going to put in there. And, you know, and you got to read it. And Linda, who's not with us anymore, I still have some pictures of her in a file here somewhere in my office of this whole deal. But it caused the whole drag racing world to swept across the United States and really put everything in an uproar. That story has never been forgotten, and wherever I go, people ask me about it. And, you know, the other day, I was somewhere, and Tom McEwen, the one we call the Mongoose, turned to his lady friend, and he said, well, I would have won the race, but I was embarrassed about the Linda Lovelace. Sure.
You threw the race. Yeah, I don't want to win that one. No big deal.
No. Well, so anyhow, the stories go up tomorrow. And wouldn't you know, the way they've stacked this thing, I got the whole Coletta Racing team coming at me one right after another, like Indians chasing down a white man in the old days. And what I mean by that is, first they run Jimmo at me real hard to wear me out, and now they come with Nikki, who's another Coletta guy, right next time.
And
I saw that they put up online that there was going to be an all Coletta final with Nikki and Jimmo, but that didn't work out. And next week, you know, I've got to go over to Pomona to the drag races, and those guys will be over there, and they're a lot younger than me and a lot sprier and a lot bigger. So I got to be a little careful here. They both told terrific stories, and I know they're terrific guys, and tomorrow I go up against Nikki.
We got Nikki up next. Nikki has been living off of the pit vehicle destruction stories with some great stories about a pit bike and a fire and a stolen golf cart, which we will talk about momentarily. Nikki, an all-around great guy as well. I love the stories, Bill, and I wish you luck in the final round of the Competition Plus War Stories. However, I got Bill Doner, legendary promoter, on the phone. I got to ask you a couple of questions about drag racing. You cool with that?
Come on.
All right. Basically, give me your general attitude. What do you think about where we're at right now? You know, Force just went through this whole new manufacturer, new sponsor thing. Seems to have come out of it. We saw Alanabi pull their sponsorship, but Alan Johnson's a tough guy and maybe making some moves behind the scenes. We don't know what they are. But, you know, NHRA, they're going to have 5 live television shows in 2015. That's more than last year. They seem to be increasing that program. Depending on who you are and how you choose to view these things, it could be good news, it could be bad news. What does Bill Doner think?
Well, first off, Bill Doner thinks that things are not nearly as bad as some people would say, but Bill Doner's heading up a new racetrack in Lake Havasu, Arizona, and we hope to break ground this year and have it open next year, and we're going to really work hard around nostalgia funny cars, which I think might be the whole future of all, particularly the little tracks. I did have a long conversation with Tom Compton, the NHRA president over the holidays, and I told him, I said, you know, Tom, years ago, Wally Parks, the founder of the NHRA, came to me when I had Orange County, and he said to me, he said, I'll promise you one thing, Bill, we'll never have more than 12 national events, and we'll never have, because we'd run the independent racetracks out of business. And I told Compton, you did, and you did. And I said, but I'm going to try and bring back an independent racetrack again and do it on a different level altogether. And these, and for instance, at the Bakersfield, at the Hot Rod Reunion last October, they had 35 of these nostalgia funny cars trying to qualify for 16 spots. They'll barely be able to fill 16 spots at the Winter Nationals of Pomona with the funny cars today. Having said that, I think there is some future, but we got to adapt to the times. Drag racing has become, there's event after event after event, 24 of them across the country, not 12, and they run the same cars week in, week out, like a circus going from town to town, that would be on television, and you'd virtually watch the same acts. There's nothing new, there's no new long, smoky burnouts or things that appeal to the crowd. The racing's terrific, the guys are terrific, but that's that. And everybody and the personalities are gone. There's no Snake and Mongoose and Blue Max and Jungle Jim and Chi-Town Hustler. You don't have cars like that. They just don't have them. They haven't encouraged them, really, and they've gone away. And so the local guys, when you go around, there are no local guys. At Pomona, the Winter Nationals, in the old days when I lived in Seattle, I'd go down there, and they had 16, 17, 18 fuel dragsters from the Pacific Northwest alone. 50 dragsters maybe on the spot. They can't even fill 16 spots now. And they have no cars from the Northwest. They have everybody's all headquartered back in Indiana or Chicago or in those areas. And it's like, it's become the same setup. So, they've got to adapt. We've all got to adapt. There is future. It's not going to disappear. I don't think you can kill it. Alan Johnson, for example, he's coming to Pomona with one car.
Yeah.
I mean, they've just knuckled down and he's telling people he thinks he's got a sponsor. I'm not letting any cat out of the bag, but so the Alanabi team, instead of having two, will have one. Just won't be known as Alanabi. The other guys won't have to race against the country.
Yeah, maybe to their benefit, probably. I agree, and it's good to hear, though, you with a positive outlook. So, Lake Havasu, that's a nice area, number one. I know there's a lot of spring break and stuff that goes on there by the lake, but you're getting back in the game, Bill.
Yeah, you know, I didn't mean to do that. I kind of got recruited. There are more hot rods per capita in the city of Lake Havasu than any place I've ever been in my life. That's kind of what sold me. I mean, every other guy over there has got a hot rod, and it is a destination resort, and it does swell up the great size on the holiday weekends, and hopefully for our drag races. And you know, we're going to build a one pour all concrete racetrack, both a quarter mile and 1,000 feet, both sizes. I'm not in doing this necessarily to try and get the NHRA to give me a national event. They're not going to jump out and do that. But, and it's at dead sea level. The air is so good in Lake Havasu that when they run the drag boats over there, and they did it just recently this year in October, I mean, they break the world's record right off the bat. Boom! And they also blow the motors up because they make so much power. But, you know, we've tested that. I've got some meetings with a guy named Ed Shaughnessy at Pomona. He did the racetrack at Brainerd, and he's pretty good about putting steel in one pour concrete racetracks and saying you should never grind them, and goes against a lot of theories that other people have. And so we think the racetrack surface will be dynamite, and the air will be real good, and then we'll see what happens.
Will it be, you said you're not going to try to, you know, go for an NHRA national event and all, but in terms of like the specs, the minimum amount of acres, that kind of stuff, will it be in compliance with what they require?
Everything. We've had, Wayne McMurtry, who was a long time with the NHRA and designed most of the racetracks in the country, lived in Lake Havasu until last year, and he was in on all the design. It's a city-owned piece of land that we've got. We're doing it with them. It's 100 acres right adjacent to the airport, and everything about it, the shutoff area, everything will comply. Plenty of parking. We'll have wonderful big pits, and we'll do something that I've encouraged them to do for years, and they ought to think about. We're going to run all our races at night.
Woo, I love that. That's something I've been thinking about for a long time. That's a big step in the right direction. That's how we all came up.
Yeah, I told Tom Compton, I said, let me tell you something, there's a theory of mine. I said, you're worried about getting young people to the races and kids going out and teenage kids and dates and stuff. I said, I never knew a kid in my life that picked up his date at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning and fought through crowds to watch an event that started at 11 and it was all over at 4 in the afternoon. I said, let me tell you something. If you put those things on Saturday night, you'll get a lot of kids and a lot of kids on dates. I know for sure. I never made any money with Sunday races.
Very interesting stuff, and I tend to agree with that just in principle. Of course, you know through life experience. Bill, thank you very much for the info and your opinion on the sport of drag racing. I always love hearing what you have to say. Can't wait to read the story. I'm very excited
okay,
for
it. Okay, big
boy. All right,
tomorrow,
Bill.
Competition Plus.
Can't wait. Thanks, Bill.
Bye.
Bill Doner, legendary promoter with us here on WFO Radio. That is one half of the final round of the Grand Championship of the CompetitionPlus.com War Stories. The other half of the final round, he is the co-crew chief for Del Worsham for the Coletta Motorsports DHL Funny Car. He joins us now. He has been on the show before. Nicky Bonifant. Nicky, welcome back.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Real well, real well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I just enjoying this beautiful snowstorm we're having here in Philadelphia the last couple of days.
You are in Blizzard 2015, reporting live from Blizzard 2015, Nicky Bonifant. What's it like out there, Nicky?
Well, it's kind of a lame blizzard here in Philadelphia. We didn't get nearly the amount of snow they're getting up in Boston. So, you know, I guess we caught a break. But I got stuck here in Philly yesterday, and I am not in Ypsilanti at the shop. I was supposed to be there yesterday, and hopefully when they open our airport up, I'll be back there, back in Ypsilanti tomorrow.
Very cool. Getting ready for the season. There's a lot of news, a lot of stuff. I actually want to ask you about a couple of the stories that I'm seeing are breaking. And I guess the most important thing I really need to do is congratulate you on your victory at the Toyota Nationals last year with Dell in Vegas. I haven't spoken with you since. Congratulations. That is awesome.
Thanks, Joe. That was a well-deserved victory, you know, for our whole Coletta Motorsports team, especially for Dell, because, he won the championship. He retired from driving, and then he was tuning a little bit, and then we stuck him back in the seat of the DHL car. So that was his first win in Funny Car in a while, and it was great for our whole team, all the guys on the team, and for John O and Jim O and Connie Coletta.
And that car is ready to rock and roll for the Winter Nationals?
Yeah, we're ready to go. When we left Pomona, we made a couple pretty good runs there in eliminations, and first round, second round there, a 403 and a 402, and we didn't change anything over the winter. We didn't test, but we're going back to race, and we're going to take up where we left off. So,
very, very cool. But Bobby Bennett has his Competition Plus War Stories Grand Championship. You are a past champion and have now made it to the final round against Bill Doner, another past champion, as are all the competitors this year. And what I imagine, I think, is the final time ever we're going to be doing this War Stories. What do you think about getting to the final round against Bill Doner?
Well, Bill Doner is a whole lot more famous than me. I mean, he's a legendary track promoter. He's got tons of people following him on Facebook, and he knows everybody. He knows all the old racers. He knows the track promoters. He knows everybody in NHRA, and I think he's a great guy to go up against. It's really gonna test our my story telling abilities, and it should be interesting to see how the results come out.
And so far, you have gone up against some of the greats. You had to go up against John Force in the first round, anytime you got to go up against Force is a tough deal. But then you had to go up against Louis Force in the second round. So the entire Force family's coming at you.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I had to go up against John, anytime you go up against John Force, whether you're a crew chief and you're racing him, you try to give it your best shot, and then to have to go up against his brother the very next round, it's like, wow, I got to really come up with a good story because Louie's right there with John, and he's got all that ammunition, you know, telling stories about his brother. So I didn't really know how well things were going to turn out, so I used an old story that I had used originally, that was one I had used a few years back against John, and it was, in my opinion, it was my best story probably of my life, and then I had to come up with another story that was pretty close to that for second round. So it was definitely interesting going up against both forces.
Let's recap the first story. Basically, you're getting through the rounds living off pit vehicle catastrophe stories. Tell the first one about the mini bike and your near-death experience.
Yeah. Well, that was back, with Gilbertson, and, Gilbertson's crazy. I mean, he's a good friend of mine. He's a guy that races, that we got to race in, late 1990s, early 2000s, and he could have been racing back in the 70s and the 60s with those guys back there, and they were crazy. So, we always had a good time, and, we had that pit bike that year, and it was, we pretty much thought, it was a new pit bike, and Tommy DeLago and I worked together on Bob's Autolite car, and it was, I think, about 2005 or 2006, and, we had a lot of young guys on the team, and they liked doing crazy stuff, and they were riding that pit bike around when we were in Vegas testing, just going crazy on the thing, and I told Bob, I said, man, somebody's going to get killed on that thing, and sure enough, I almost got killed in a fire, sitting in the rental car. So everybody pretty much knows the story. The guys, Bob ran the bike over, and then the bike caught fire from the gas running out of the tank, and we drug it around the pit area. People with fire extinguishers were chasing us around, and I bailed out of the car right through the fire, and the rest is history. So we wound up getting pretty hefty fine from NHRA, and Bruton didn't want to ever let us back in his track again there in Vegas. So, it was a crazy story. Kind of goes with that whole Terminator Motorsports there at, with Bob Gilbertson.
I could hear your... I don't know if it's remorse or whatever it is in the story. I could feel it, like, oh my God, we're going to lose our jobs. We're not going to be allowed back. Like, wow, this thing really went sideways.
Yeah, it did. I mean, we didn't expect the bike to blow up. And, I don't know what those little pit bikes cost. Probably $2,000-$3,000. And, I told Bob, I said, if I were you, I'd run that thing over with a rental car. And Tommy laid it down in front of the rental car, and Bob drove right over it. And, of course, we were laughing and joking around at the time, but none of us thought he'd do it. And, from that point on, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. And after it all went down, I'm like, wow, I thought Bob was dead, because the car exploded and blew up. Looked like we were in filming a scene in a movie, and Tommy and I looked at each other, and I'm like, man, we're in trouble. Bob's dead, and we're going to get, we're not going to have a job, and then we're going to get thrown out of NHRA. So it was definitely a lifetime experience for me. I mean, if I had to do it over again, I definitely wouldn't do it. So, but for the memories and the war stories, it's a great story to tell, and it's a great story to win with. Unfortunately, I won't be able to use that story against Bill in the final. So I got to come up with one that's going to be better than that.
All you kids out there, use these guys' wisdom that they have learned through these experiences to learn what not to do out there. Don't ever run over a pit bike. Then your second story against Louis Force, I don't blame you. That was not you at all. A couple of your PR guy, Berserko Bob, who I have encountered a couple of times in my trials and tribulations. Nice guy. Some people, they steal a golf cart. Who can prevent that? It happens.
Well, yeah, we definitely didn't really know what happened there. I mean, it was a little bit of a shock to us. When it all happened, we really were a little bit upset because, you know, we didn't know how much damage had actually happened or whatever. But when you go back and you look at the whole situation, I mean, another situation that cost Bob a pretty good chunk of money because there was some damage to Jeggy's Pro Stocker. But, you know, NHRA was obviously pretty pissed at Bob and me. And we didn't even really do anything. But overall, when you move on with life and you sit down and you think about it, we definitely have a lot of memories of things that happened in our past that are funny. And, that was a pretty funny situation when you sit back and think about it.
Now years later, and it's all been smoothed over, but I'm surprised that kind of thing doesn't happen more often, though, Nikki. Considering the pit area, the way it all is, it's actually a good thing that it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, it could definitely happen a lot. There are a lot of, NHRA allows all the fans in the pits, which is a great thing for our sport. I wouldn't have it any other way. And, we have our NHRA credentials on our golf carts, so you just can't get a golf cart and ride it around. And they've done a lot to police the pit area and keep them safe. So, to have a crazy situation like that happen, it was pretty funny, really, because Berserko, he didn't really know who the girls were. He had just met them, but they must have taken a liking to him, and I'm pretty sure they might have been heavily intoxicated when they crashed the golf cart.
That is a possibility. we don't want to speculate.
Right.
It is definitely a possibility. So the final round story, you know what you're going up. Folks, these stories are on competitionplus.com. You can read them. I highly encourage it. We just spoke with Bill Doner. His is a two-parter, so we already know where he's going. It's the Linda Lovelace story. And where we last left off in his story, Linda and some of his buddies showed up at his house 2:30 in the morning, and they want Billy Lee to come out and play. And so we're all on the edge of our seats for that. What are you going to come up with, Nikki, to battle that story?
Well, I've been really thinking a lot about all the different stories I could come up with. And I kind of know that I know a little bit about that Linda Lovelace story, through some of my heroes in drag racing, that I look up to. So I've heard bits and pieces. I've never heard Bill's whole story, so I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of it. But as far as my story, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper, and I'm going to go back to my roots when I was younger, and I was working with Del Worsham and Richard Hartman on my dad's Ray Bestis car back in 1990. I mean, that's about as far back as I can go. I can get in the 80s, but back in the 1980s, we did a lot of crazy things, but I was pretty young. But this story involves my brother and my dad and Richard and Bell and one of our crew guys, Rob Heisen. And it's going to be a pretty funny story. I don't know if it'll beat Bill. I sure hope it will, but we'll see.
We will see. These stories come out Wednesday on competitionplus.com. The final round, Bill Doner versus Nikki Bonifant. It is going to be a clash of the titans for the ultimate grand championship in the Competition Plus War Stories. Check it out, folks. Now, Nikki, let's talk a little drag race in 2015.
Sure.
Well, first of all, news that is just hitting me in the face right now as we are recording this is that the NHRA has announced that the U.S. Nationals is going to go back to points and a half. Basically, so not double points like it used to be way back in the day, but more points than a regular race. They're going to increase the points to points and a half. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's definitely, it should be worth more than any regular race, because you know, it's the biggest race in drag racing. So I think it'll be good. You know, it will affect the it'll definitely affect the countdown, and so you better have your game together when you show up at Indianapolis. And the other thing is it'll also make you know, a lot more guys that don't test at the Indy test will probably go test now because it's worth so much, especially the guys who are struggling to lock up the last couple spots in the countdown.
Yeah, just looking at it, normally it's 100 points for the winner. Now it will be 150. Normally it's 80 for the runner-up. Now it'll be 120. I think it's great. It gives the opportunity for the Hail Mary pass. You know, the guy who's on the outside, if he gets it together and wins the biggest race of the season, he can make his way into the countdown.
Yeah, a guy like Beckman last year was pretty close getting in, and, you know, maybe if it was points and a half, he would have got in. So I guess we'll see how it shakes out.
Now, you guys have your car is ready to go. I got to see some testing down at Palm Beach, and we heard the numbers coming out of Phoenix with the Force people with the new Camaros. They have been working real hard to get the new Camaro body. You have a new body as well. You were the first to debut the new Camry body. How do you like it? Clearly, you're able to go to the winner's circle right away.
Yeah, we love that Toyota Camry body. I mean, it's a fast body, and you know, we race as hard as we can. We definitely want to beat all the Fords, and now we get the race against Chevrolet. They've been out of the Nitro ranks for a while, so it's good that John, you know, did get a Chevrolet deal, because, you know, if John can't get a deal, nobody can, you know. So but basically we're looking forward to you know, running that Toyota at Pomona and having you know, going out there and trying to run as hard as we can, and hopefully, you know, we can turn on four, you know, qualify well, and then turn on four wind lights on Sunday.
Your last time out, you went 4:02, and unfortunate at the time, you know, Dell lost on a hole shot. I'm sure he was aggravated about that, but at the same time, you got the tune up, and the weather conditions won't be so different starting and ending the season there.
Yeah, they shouldn't be too different. It's hard to say, but we did skip West Palm testing, and one of the reasons for that was the difference. You know, the conditions are just so good in West Palm with the weather, and we go there, we got to change our car so much, and then we go to Pomona, and sometimes it takes you a few runs to kind of get it back to where you ended the season if you did well. So we decided, you know, this year we're going to just take it right back to Pomona. We're going to run it, you know, similar to how we left there. And, I mean, Alexis ran 3:99, and she was right at the top of the, right on the pole there. So, you know, our car wasn't quite as quick in qualifying, but on race day we were, you know, within a hundredth of everyone. We had second quickest run of second round when we lost. And, we figured, hey, let's go back. Let's see if we can, duplicate our performance. And turn on two more wind lights on Sunday, and get off to a real strong start, and not have to struggle to work your tune up back from the West Palm setup. You know, when you show up at Pomona.
Do you think that there were fewer cars at Palm Beach this past year? And I know one of the reasons was that the John Force contingent was dealing with switching over to Chevrolets and all that is associated with that, and so they just couldn't make it. And I know the Alanabi team, they are dealing with their own stuff that we are hoping that they're able to find some funding, given the last-minute nature of what happened to them with the nation of Qatar pulling all motorsports funding for their North American racing operations at, like, the very last second. So there were fewer cars. We still had a great show. It was a lot of fun. But do you think, because of what you said, the weather conditions being so good, so different than anything else you run, that the Palm Beach test is going to be something that you just no longer go to at any point?
Joe, I love to go to Florida, and I love to go in the winter. But I don't really I love West Palm, and it's a beautiful facility. I'm just not crazy about testing there. It's a tough place to run at, and, you know, I think that was evident this year. Watching some of the funny cars, you know, the SR cars, struggle to get down the track. And it's not, you know, when you're down there, you get a lot of data from your whole run, and it's pretty tough to get off the line there. And you know, whether it's due to the air or the you know, the starting line being so tight, the car tends to want to shake there and hook the tire. And it was, we saw that with a lot of Schumacher cars. It was hit and miss. And you know, we've seen that with our car down there in the past. We've seen it with both our cars, the Patron car, the DHL car. And sometimes when you get it, you know, like, I got it, I'm good, and this thing's going to go every run, and you don't change a thing, and the track changes just a tiny bit, it'll shake. So we decided let's just not do that this year. Let's skip it. And I think a lot of the other teams did the same thing. So, you know, Doug did test the Mac Tools car down there with Jim Oberhofer, but Jim O., you know, he ran 375. He made some good runs. He was right there with Massey. But he had a few different parts to try, some new clutch pieces and some engine pieces. So he needed to go down there and get a few runs on them. We weren't in that situation. And I think some of the other guys probably were in that situation too.
Very interesting stuff, and of course, my motivation is just seeing nitro cars close to my house. But it won't be long. The Circle K Winter Nationals right around the corner. Nikki, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio. Again, congratulations on your win 3 races ago. Wasn't that long ago. You guys are still hot. Keep the momentum rolling, and I am looking forward to seeing the start of the season real soon, and of course, reading your Competition Plus War Story final round. Now, go get out of the snow, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Take care, and hopefully it doesn't get much warmer down there in Florida where you're at.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to go shovel some of the heat right now. All right, Nikki.
Take care, Joe.
There he goes, Nikki Bonifant, co-crew chief of the DHL Toyota, driven by Del Wershom, along with John Oberhofer, Coletta Motorsports team. His half of the war story is Bill Doner. Before that, Bill, the legendary promoter out there on the West Coast, OCIR, and all those great wild commercials and 64 funny cars. And when I speak of that, I know I'm talking to people in the drag racing community that lived that. So by no means can I perpetrate being from southeastern Florida. Like, I really, truly understand. But I can tell you that the information that I've gotten over the years, and being the, you know, the drag racing nerd that tries to seek out DVDs of roasts and different things, and of course the Steve Evans Be There CD many years ago, drag racing commercials. I certainly wished I was there, just an East Coast guy. What are you going to do? Some of you West Coasties don't even know how lucky you are to have been born into that community. It's very cool being there for that. But as it turns out, you know, a moment in time as it is, and a lot of people think about those days as the greatest days in the sport of drag racing. Kind of interesting. And now we are where we are. We got what we got, and we're doing what we're doing, and we're trying to make the most of it, or the most of it. Yeah, playing hurt a little bit today, folks, trying to get it through on WFO Radio. Never missed a show except for, I think, one we missed last year. But that was the only WFO. I had WFO listeners, people find me and say that they're going back for like all the archive, back like 6 years to try to locate everything in the archive. They just found the show. If you're one of those people, you just found the show. Maybe you're shut in because of the blizzard. Well, this is the program. Check out the archive. The interview archive is great. We try to keep up with all the latest, greatest. And if there's something we don't get to on any one particular show, we'll try to catch up with it on the next week. That's what we do. It's a serial show. We have the Ignition Show, which is NASCAR, motorsports, and many other things as well. We talk drag racing as well. So if you're a drag racing fan and you don't listen to the interview show because there's no interviews with your favorite drivers, totally cool. I get it. But we do talk about a lot of stuff on the Ignition Show that I deliberately save for the Ignition Show for exactly that reason. Think about it. Anyway, bottom line, this has been an excellent show. Thanks to Brittany Force. Thanks to Matt Smith. Of course, Bill Doner and Nikki Bonifant coming on. Who's going to win the war story? That's the question. I can't wait to read it Wednesday and cast my vote, just like the rest of you, see how it goes. Lots of news happening. Lots of things going on. In fact, there is an NHRA press conference coming up on Wednesday. A lot of people. Something we just started doing is trying to make the audio available for the NHRA press conferences through the WFO distribution network. They're available, but the WFO distribution network, I believe, is superior in many ways, the mobile app, the audio, that kind of stuff. And people have been voting with their numbers, as in they've been listening. So we're going to try to get that NHRA press conference up tomorrow as well. We'll see how that goes. Let us know. And, of course, always know this. You, the listener, are our greatest source of new listeners. Our greatest marketing platform is you. You tell a friend, you go to the track with a buddy or something, and you found the show on Twitter or on Facebook or however. And you say, hey, this show, they're interviewing all the drivers. You should check it out. And that's basically it. The hook is the drivers. We interview the drivers after every NHRA national event. And we're going to get a chance to prove that. Not long from now, the Circle K Winter Nationals are right around the corner. That is going to do it. Thanks to Alan Reinhart, of course, for coming on the show whenever he can. That is greatly appreciated. And a big thanks to Brittany Force and the people at John Force Racing for making her available nearly immediately after her 369 run. Just tremendous. I hope you see many of those on the scoreboard. Big thanks to Matt Smith Racing and the folks at Victory Motorcycles. That's going to be kind of cool. Perhaps a new rival, Harley versus Victory. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. And Bill Doner, Nikki Bonifant, Bobby Bennett from Competition Plus, got to have Bobby on, makes his War Stories finalist available to us. Remember, subscribe on iTunes, the best way. Download the mobile application. Enable push notifications. A great review is always appreciated. You've downloaded these apps, they always want you to review them. Because the way iTunes works is the more positive reviews you get, the higher you get in their rankings, and then more people see you, and then the more people see you, the more they download. We're trying to grow the sport of drag racing, so that's what's awesome. Hopefully you'll give us a positive review. And the Ignition Show, 8 p.m. Wednesday, hopefully the press conference, and that's going to do it. See you next time, right here on WFO Radio.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we going to do?
What else?
Email it to everybody we know!
Good idea.